tonight, and it's through Zoom, so you don't even have to leave your home. And if you go to the website right there, www.galescreekchurch.com, it has a place that says prayer meeting, and if you click it, you'll go right into Zoom. So it's very simple. There's also a phone number if you don't have Zoom, so you can get on it with a phone call. So they have gleaners on Wednesdays, 11 o'clock. And then if you know of somebody that needs help with food, be sure to encourage them to come. And they're open from 10:30 to 11:30 on Wednesday also. Or if they need to schedule an appointment, they can give us a call. Sherry will come and help them. Next week, we're going to have The Chosen and our simple potluck, and you don't have to bring anything because there is lots of food from yesterday, and they've put it in the freezer, and we're going to get it out and have, so it isn't really potluck, it's come and eat. Yeah. And it was wonderful food. It was awesome. So yes. We're just going to
leftovers.
And I was going to bring, I thought, well, I'll make a cake or something. And when I looked in there, there's a pie. I mean, we've got everything we need. Yeah. Lots of veggies and
rigatoni.
There's a whole pan of rigatoni for us to eat. So lots to eat. So don't bring anything. Just be sure and come and enjoy fellowship. And then enjoy the movie. We're going to have Spirit.
Awesome.
And Unlawful. Wow. All right, looks like good ones. So we will just plan on those. So I have another one that I want to say. We are having a memorial service for Jim Cooper on the 21st of this month, Saturday the 21st, here at the church. And it'll be a potluck afterwards also. So this is going to be his brothers and that are strong Christians, but I don't know what kind of outreach. It's going to be a big outreach, so I encourage everybody to try and come and show Christian love. Yeah. And they're expecting quite a few people, so I hope we have church people come. All right, let's go to the Lord. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful that we have this place to come and worship you and just praise your name. Father God, I just lift Pastor Teresa up and what you have placed on her heart to share with us today. I lift these songs up, Lord. They're just great songs to just be worshiping you. And Lord, just be with us, be with those that are not here today. It was so great to see so many people yesterday. I wish more would be here today, but we just praise you for what you did, and we just praise you that what you're going to do. We just thank you, Lord Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. So we'll stand for the call to worship, Philippians 4:19. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Leading on.
You Good morning, church.
Good morning.
God bless you.
You too.
And from all those blessings, let us give our tithes and our offerings. Father, Lord, thank you for what you have given us. So much. Homes, cars, jobs, retirements, lives to invest in everywhere we turn. Thank you for those opportunities to give back from what you have given us in so much abundantly. Amen. Amen. Just making sure it wasn't me. I'll try to work with this direction. You good, Gene? You got me? Okay. All right. Now we get to do the best part of church. We get to pray. We get to come together. We get to be a body, not just separate. And so in that vein, let's not forget to remember to lift up. There we go. Many of those who cannot be here today. Would anyone like to share a praise or a prayer request? Bill. Oh, yeah. That was awesome. That was awesome. It was a celebration, not a mourning. And we all know that when we die, there's a new morning that comes. Anybody here, raise your hand if you want a celebration rather than a memorial service for your... Yeah, absolutely, right? Well, I have a son with a middle name Elijah, so I plan to go in a chariot of fire, so I'm with you. However I get there, I know I'm going. Amen. Amen. Yep. Anybody else? Judy. Praise that Jim Cooper is now with our Lord, and he's dancing something kind of jig with Ted up there, and yeah, Paul too. I mean, you know, it's a party. It's a party. And prayer for Lori left behind now, though, needing to move to a much smaller place and to shed some of the possessions of this world and sometimes, honestly, the trappings, if you ask me. And in prayer for her to work through the grief of losing Jim, too. Absolutely. Big change is coming. Anybody else? Debbie. Yeah, go ahead. Debbie, and then Bill. Amen. For those of you that'll catch this up online later, Debbie was saying thank you very much to her church family for helping Ted's celebration and praising the Lord for what a celebration it really was. And it was. Our favorite tender-hearted prankster. Yeah. A lot of people heard about God. Bill. Wow. So Bill's praising God for his brother Stan and Fred's brother and Carolyn's brother-in-law, my uncle, no less, great uncle to a few over there, and he's great. And brother-in-law to Donna. Okay, got it. There's a lot of celebration going on in this in the hearts of those here for my uncle Stan. It was a pretty good fight with cancer, and he appears to be cancer-free at this point, but we'll have monitoring going on in the future. So praise the Lord for that. Someday we will not have bodies that spontaneously start cancers. We will be up with Ted, and we will be dancing in our perfected bodies. No bad knees or rickety shoulders. Yep, absolutely. So continued prayer for Leo Hesselgesser, Judy's son. If I remember right, he's number two, right? Yep, Scott, Leo, Brad, Andy. And so he's number two, your number two son. And he's having a lot of neuropathy, some loss of feeling with the chemotherapy, and it should be ongoing as he goes through. So prayer for him. If you guys know Leo, he's the one out of the four that's the strong as an ox boy. And this has probably got to be hitting him up here a little bit. Because he's just, right? And with the neuropathy, it would be different. So, yeah. So, Lord, give him peace. Wow. So, a lot of global muscular neuropathy, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So it's really, yeah, the neuropathy is very global over his body then. So lift him up in prayer that he can endure. Anybody else? Praise or prayer request? I won't boast too much, but less than 30 days of school left. I'm not making you go check my Facebook, but if you do, the countdown calendar is there every day. Just go and enjoy. We have an amazing librarian who puts together memes for every day following Staff Appreciation Week, which was last week. So you might get a good chuckle or two here or there. And I know Ted will, because a lot of them are punny. So, Landon, did you have a praise or a prayer request? You gotta say it loud so we can hear. No, but it's... Tuesday, May 10th. Like the number nine. He's air writing the word nine right now. Yep. And it's a race now, so we're good. Air eraser. For those of you out there on Facebook, you're not seeing all that, but it's moderately hilarious. All right, Bubba, thank you for sharing, and happy birthday coming up soon. Many of you don't know he was born one day before the birthday of both of his grandfathers. Kind of, if he'd gone one more day. And he was also born Mother's Day weekend, so. God has a sense of humor, because Landon was born Mother's Day weekend, Dawson was born Thanksgiving Day, and Claire was born 2 days before Christmas. So we didn't want to run out of holidays, we stopped having kids. So. Just kidding. So, anybody else want to share before we go together as a family? Let us pray together. Father Lord, thank you for family and a little bit of fun, faithful frivolity. Thank you for the many blessings you give us just simply being who you are. We pause to think of getting the privilege to bow around the throne, the crystal throne, and just say, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and thank you, God, that you are to come. And from your great abundance, we say thank you for all you have given us. Time with each other here on this earth and forever time after. Lord, we lift up those going through the journey here that are struggling. We lift up Leo with his cancer. We lift up Lori, who is now left behind by Jim. And we praise you that we know Jim is in heaven. He's up there with Ted. He's up there with Paul. And they're all having some fun together. Lord, we thank you that we will get to join that party when our day comes as well. Lord, in fact, we thank you that even now we live an everlasting life just on this side of that reality. Thank you for jobs. Thank you for houses. Thank you for places to live and people to love and people to be loved by. But most of all, thank you for mothers, this Mother's Day. Every one of us here owes a debt of gratitude to a mother that you provided to us. Thank you, Lord, for moms. They make the world go round. They show your love. And they teach it to the hearts of little minds and souls for your kingdom's sake. Lord, we lift up this nation top to bottom, bottom to top. Right now we have a primary election going on, Lord, and we ask that you give us the wisdom to choose the leaders that would make godly, righteous decisions so that all will benefit from the righteousness put forward. Lord, we ask that you give wisdom to our city leaders, our county leaders, our state leaders, and especially our leaders at the national level. Lord, return us to being a shiny city on a hill. Not the laughingstock of a world. But Lord, help us see past any demographic and right into the hearts of the leaders that we choose. And Lord, find ways to reveal to us those leaders whose hearts have been captured by you. And Lord, now, boldly, we ask for revival. Let there be revival in this community. Let there be revival in this county. Let there be revival in this church. Let there be revival in our hearts. Let there be revival across the land. Let this earthly kingdom be revived by your spiritual one. Come, Holy Spirit, come to the hearts and the minds of men and women and bring revival. Amen.
All right, kids. How are you going to be? I didn't say them yet. Father, Lord, thank you for these children and for the future of your church.
Whoa.
And for the future of your kingdom. And the future you give me in my heart and the heart of Sarah for our future here on earth. Thank you for providing them to us and giving us the opportunity to lift them back up as a sacrifice back to you from our heart. Lord, let their hearts soak up today what Sherry has in prepared for them, Lord, that they may know you more and dig deeper into knowing about being loyal in your kingdom. Amen.
Oh, to be nine again.
No fun.
Well, welcome to the House of the Lord. Thank you for joining us, those of you who are with us through social media. I want to say a prayer for our mothers and those who might be grieving the loss of their mother. I found these two prayers, and I'm actually combining two that I found. One is written by Aaron Brown, and then the second one is by Debbie McDaniel. They just have beautiful words that I'd like to use for our prayer before I begin. So here's a Mother's Day prayer. Heavenly Father, I speak this prayer to you now in gratitude and praise for the gift of mothers. My mother, those of friends, relatives, those I'll never know, all mothers around the world. Thank you for the role they play in the family unit. Thank you for their teachings, their wisdom, their patience and understanding. Thank you for their physical, emotional, and spiritual gifts they possess. I pray that you help mothers all across the world to be a blessing upon their children. Whether delivering affirmation or discipline, I pray that you help every word and action to be done in love. And I pray that children throughout the world would take time to honor their mothers, that you would show them how to uniquely do so. I pray that these mothers also act as a blessing beyond their households, reaching into their extended families, communities, churches, schools. I pray that the impact of motherhood is revered throughout society and that these women are acknowledged, for their everyday impact on the world. May you guide each of them into fulfilling their purpose here on earth. And for those who are grieving the loss of their mother, God, we ask for your divine intervention. You are healer, and you never waste the grief we carry. You will use all things for good in some kind of way. Anything is possible with you. Nothing is too difficult for you. And so we ask your comfort to surround those who weep. We pray for the peace of your presence to cover our minds and thoughts as you remind us the enemy can never steal out of your hands. He never has the final say over our lives. And so for this, we thank you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. To God's keeping power and his grace. Thank God for mothers. So now, to the time that we dedicate for studying the Word of God, we're going to start a new series. And I've entitled this one, Jesus Prepares His Disciples. So for a few weeks, we're going to look at how Jesus prepared his disciples. And by preparing them, he, of course, is preparing us, because we too are his disciples. And so the first installment is entitled, My Sheep Hear My Voice. And this is found in John chapter 10. We're going to focus on verses 27 through 30, and I'll be sharing from the New Living Translation, chapter 10 of John, verses 27 through 30. It reads simply this. This is Jesus speaking. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. Listen to this. No one can snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. Amen. So that's a bold and powerful statement that Jesus makes. He is declaring to the public, and specifically to the Pharisees, because when you look back through the chapter 9, like preceding this, he's specifically talking to them. And of course, the crowds are always eavesdropping. They're listening in to see what he's saying, and as well as his disciples. So he is declaring in public that he is the one and only begotten Son of God, marking his identity as the long-awaited Messiah. But preceding this statement, Jesus is explaining to the people who he is by comparing himself to a shepherd who cares for his sheep. So now, this is problematic for me in my mind, because I asked Jesus, why couldn't he come up with a better analogy? I mean, sheep, for crying out loud? And of course, Jesus laughed. He's like, girl, please. You see, sheep aren't really known for being the brightest. So I'm like, really, Jesus? Sheep? So there's some very intelligent animals out there on the planet. I just have a small list, Sister Lord, just a small list of them. Elephants, right? Beautiful animal, known for their extraordinary memory, their ability to use tools, okay? That's what elephants can do. Dolphins, also highly intelligent. They've been known to teach each other, to learn, to cooperate, to scheme, and even grieve. Dolphins grieve their dead, as do elephants. So any of the primates, that could be chimpanzees, monkeys, apes, they can learn sign language. They exhibit self-awareness. And there's even pigeons. Pigeons, who for many years relayed messages, you know, homing pigeons, beautiful thing that they can do. But no, we get compared to sheep, who are eaten by their predators. They're used for their wool, for their milk, and then when we slay them, their meat is eaten. But, you know, to be fair, which is why Jesus laughed at me, sheep really do get a bum rap for not being the brightest, but they do have redeeming qualities. So let me share those. Sheep can actually recognize human faces. Isn't that something? They can recognize human faces. They can navigate complex mazes. You know how we've trained rats to do that? Sheep can do it too. And sheep are also emotionally complex, and they have distinct personalities. So, you know, they're not so bad after all. They will, however, which is the downside of why we, you know, make fun of sheep, plunge to their death as they blindly follow their leader to a ravine or to swift waters. They're really good at following. So if you're leading them in the wrong place, it's bad. They'll go down. Hence their label for not being the brightest animals. But they make wonderful leaders, and they just have to ensure that their leader has their act together and is leading them in the right places. Like us as human beings, we got to be wise about who we choose to follow. So this is why Jesus compares his followers to sheep. In addition to being good followers, they can recognize the voice of their leader, be it another sheep or a human shepherd. And they will come when their name is called. So when you actually name your sheep, just like your dogs, just like your cats, they will come when you call their names. But they have to be familiar to you. They must know your face and know your voice. Isn't that fascinating? So sheep aren't dumb after all. Which is why the analogy of sheep is used in the Old Testament and the New Testament. We flock together. We make good followers, even in bad situations. We know each other and can learn to know God's voice. Like the sheep in the pasture of Psalm 23, we rely on God's protection as the sheep rely on the good shepherd. In fact, the main reason sheep flock together is to stay safe. It's nature's way of teaching us that there's safety in numbers. And that's really why sheep flock together, because they don't have the defense mechanisms that other animals do. So it's just mass. If they stay together, they're safe. When they actually become separated from the flock, this is why we know they have feelings and emotions, just like we do as human beings. They actually become stressed. They panic and become fearful. And not only does that individual member who gets lost, it gets detached, but the flock itself also experiences those same feelings, and they worry about the one that's missing. It's fascinating. They worry about that one who is missing and about the flock of their flockmates if they get in danger. So allow me to read some of the passage from Jesus' teaching that day when he's talking to the Pharisees and to the people who are eavesdropping on that conversation. In chapter 10, we're going to start with verse 6. So just if you have your Bibles open, just go up a few verses in chapter 10. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration, speaking of the sheep, didn't understand what he meant. So he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate, Jesus says. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. he will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, Jesus repeats. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, too, that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. Amen to God's word. It's a fascinating analogy that Jesus uses. Again, people knew that sheep weren't the brightest animals around. They know them to be providers of wool. We can make clothing from them. We can eat their meat. It would be sacrificed, in fact, right, at the temple. But for God to say through Jesus, he is the good shepherd? Huh, what does that mean for us as human beings? If we think about the sheep who's in a herd and knows the voice of their shepherd, that's what Jesus is trying to tell us. And that's what he was trying to tell them, that I am the shepherd that God himself sent to take care of this large flock. And he gives this wonderful thing that he says, not one can be taken from me. So he's not willing to lose not one sheep out of that flock. Fascinating. When you go back to Psalm 23, go back and read that today if you can, or sometime this week, because it gave me new meaning to understand what a shepherd does. Because the shepherd, in Psalm 23, it talks about leading me beside the still waters. So, again, because sheep, they have very short legs, they can't do what other animals can. If they fell into that water and it's moving waters, that sheep's gone. Its life will be taken. This is why it's really important that a shepherd would take you to those still waters that are not running, that are not fast moving, that they could dip their heads down and drink. It's also how they eat. So when part of the other part of the shepherd's job is to take them to those grasslands where they can just get down close to the ground and just nibble all the grass that they like. When I was researching sheep, I found out that they're picky eaters. They remind me of my daughter, Sister Carolyn. She's hard to feed. She's just like, yeah, I don't like that. I thought, oh no, I like that, right? That's how sheep are. They actually won't eat all the grass. So if you just put them out here, they're not going to eat all of that. It's certain things that they like. So it's that shepherd's job to take them to the fields where they can graze, where they'll have peaceful, still waters. I'm like, wow, Jesus, that's deep. He provides for us. He's taking care of us all along the way, even when we're not even thinking about it. We may be taking him for granted. But this is what our good shepherd is doing. And then when the bad predator comes along, he's using that staff to protect us and to fight off the predator. So here's some lessons that Jesus wanted his disciples to learn so that they could be prepared to live their lives for him and to make other disciples, to teach others how to live for God. Because that's why God calls us. That's why he invited us into the family, so that we could give birth to other believing souls. It's part of our job. So first and foremost, Jesus says to those listening, he is God's Messiah. Verse 30, the Father and I are one. Now, this is what the Pharisees had a hard problem with, because like, what? Aren't you the boy from Nazareth? Please, we know all about you. You can't possibly be the Messiah. Jesus declares there is no other more powerful than God himself, and that God entrusted believers to Jesus' work of salvation. What does that mean? So God, again, before he even created any of us, he already had the plan in his mind. This is what I'm going to do. And those who will believe, they're in his hand. And the enemy can dance and prance and try to pull us out and put his foot on it. And it's not going to happen because he's God Almighty. And he entrusted that power to Jesus, his Messiah. So once you believe in Jesus, you receive him as your personal savior. Once you believe that God is who he says he is, it's a wrap. The enemy can come with all kinds of stuff. And trust me, he does. I've only been on the planet 51 years, but I have stories full of how the enemy is busy on every turn. If he's not trying to do something through your siblings, he's trying to do something through your kids. If it's not your kids, it's your coworkers, or maybe the neighbor across the street, or the people at the store. It always got to be something, because the enemy is trying to. And Jesus is amused. He sits there and he looks and he's like, "Silly devil, haven't you learned anything yet? You are not going to pluck not one of them out of my hand. Not one. Because God, the creator of all, has deemed it so." So the devil himself cannot have those who are saved. And we see this in the story of Job, where Job was like, well, the only reason he loves you is because you dote on him. I mean, take away all those goods, he's not going to believe in you. But Job proved the enemy wrong. He did struggle. He did grieve. He did go through all of those horrible things. And at the end of the day, he said, yeah, well, you know, I belong to God. So if this is God's will, then this is the way it's going to be. The enemy of our souls can act out as often as he wishes, tempt us, whisper seeds of untruth in our minds and our hearts, as it states in verse 10. Read it there in verse 10. His job is to try to steal from us, try to kill us, and even destroy us. But he will never prevail over us because we are victors through Jesus himself. This is why the enemy's sting is ruined. He's going to try. He's going to keep acting out as much as he can. But at the end of the day, we belong to God. And why do we belong to God? Because of Jesus, his Messiah. Jesus died for us so that we could be victorious. So the devil does not have the power to take us from God's hand. And this is a beautiful, beautiful thing. The second thing that Jesus was trying to impart to his disciples, as he stated, his sheep hear his voice and they follow. This is the important part about the shepherd, because he could call for his sheep. He could call them by individual name or just tap his staff and say, come on, everyone. Because they know his voice, they're going to start following. Now, again, because the devil is tricky, we may hear God's voice, or we may hear Jesus talking to us plain as day, but because the enemy comes and has a shiny, sparkly thing over there, we get distracted and we're looking over there and going, oh, that's pretty. Don't take the bait. Listen for God's still voice that's saying, over here, I need you to follow. Because it doesn't do any good to just hear God's voice. You actually need to obey and follow. And this is what he's trying to impart by comparing us to sheep. The disciples were faithful Jews. They studied scripture, as did the Pharisees. so they could know God's voice. And we too have to study the Word of God. That's how we get to know God's voice. So when the Holy Spirit is whispering in our ear what to do, how to be, we can be obedient to it. But if you don't know God's word, it's going to be hard to do that. Because then you're always trying to wait. Well, should I listen to Sister Debbie? Should I listen to Brother Bill? Or who? I don't know. Well, what does the word say? Let's just start there. What does the teaching of God himself say? And then if your friends are aligning themselves with what the Bible says, then there you go. But if they're speaking completely against, they may not be your best of friends. And you probably need to change it up and find yourself some new friends. But we have to be like the disciples. You have to study the word so that you can know the elemental things of God's voice. They were getting to know Jesus as their rabbi. And by knowing Jesus, that allowed them to better know God the Father. And how to follow God more deeply. Not superficially, which is the challenge of some of the religious leaders back then. And I think even now, I mean, again, the portraits that are painted in Scripture apply to us today. And I know we like to think that we're also holy and we're smarter than those people in the Bible. But really, we're not, Brother Gene. We're not. We're the same. There's a lot of Peters in our lives, lots of Marys, lots of Elijahs, right, who are trying to do what God wants us to do. But we are human, and so therefore we fail. So recognize this. The people in the Bible represent us. We have to not be superficial in our relationship with God. You know, I am a part of another group, and we were talking this week about what it is to really believe in God, or really be a Christian, really be a follower of Christ. And so most of us in the group have been Christians a long time. So whether they were raised in church like I was or not, they've just been practicing the faith for quite some years. So it's real easy that if you go to church for long periods of time, you become churchy. And so then you start seeing the world as, well, you're just not as good as we are because we go to church, you know. And then again, we have this nice list of the things that we don't do, Sister Donna. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't, you know, don't. And so we had this great conversation. It's not about the things that you don't do. It's, are you doing the things that God actually called you to do? Are you being the person he created you to be? Because we are human beings. God didn't create us to do. He created us to be. We are in his image for a reason. So if your Christianity is just a list of don'ts, and then you have this really bad look on the people around you because they don't worship like you do and they don't do the things like you do, wrong answer. You have just now become a Pharisee and a Sadducee because you're so concerned with the list. There is no checklist. It's not how it works. If you have a relationship with God, you will recognize his voice. And your love for him will compel you to follow him and obey him and be like him. Amen? So what are the things God is calling you to do? How is he calling you to be? Those are the things you should be focusing on and not the list of don'ts. So Jesus is trying to say to his disciples, don't have a superficial relationship with God. Learn his voice and obey. He promises later to the disciples that the Holy Spirit will come and guide them just as he is guiding them. And we have the benefit of having the Holy Spirit. So we must train ourselves and practice to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because there's not a physical Jesus standing in front of us, but we have Jesus living inside of us. So, the other part of hearing his voice and following, knowing Jesus' voice means we obey. And so, as I said earlier, the whole point of being able to recognize the face and the voice of one shepherd is for the sheep's safety and provision. And over time, the sheep trust the shepherd because he leads them to the next water that they can drink and they won't drown them. He leads them to the pastures that have plenty of greens to choose from to eat. He protects them from the predators and the cliffs. We too must learn to trust God and to follow his son because he wants to do the very same things that a shepherd would do for his sheep. He wants to provide. He wants us to thrive. He wants us to be protected and live for him. Another thing that Jesus was teaching, he said that he would one day sacrifice his life for them. Now, of course, they didn't understand at that point in time when Jesus said that. Because he says that a good shepherd would sacrifice his life for his sheep. This is a hard concept for the disciples to grasp, yet they needed to know that the blood sacrifice was the requirement for sin to be forgiven. It was established way back in the Old Testament. This is why they had sacrifices. What is the penalty of sin? Death. You can't get to death without blood being shed as a sacrifice. So he would be willing to give up his life for them and, of course, for us. Again, they didn't understand that Jesus would physically sacrifice his life, but that was coming. It was a foreshadow of what he was meant to do. But here's a fourth thing, and it's very vital for us as modern-day Christians. Jesus said to them, he has more than one flock. And this lesson speaks to our salvation. Because how many thousands of years are we behind the disciples, the first 12, and the number that we can't number, who followed Christ outside of the 12? We are disciples of Christ. We're a part of that flock that wasn't there back then and there. So Jesus says to them, there's more than one flock. And again, I use my own upbringing from visiting different churches and having family members belong to different denominations. There are people on the planet, Lord help us, who really believe that if you don't go to their church, you aren't going to heaven. It's so sad. It really is sad. This is why you got to study the Word of God and know it for yourself. Because it doesn't say that in Scripture. Nowhere in Scripture does it indicate that. So it's fascinating to me that there are people who believe that. You are not the only flock. In fact, later on, Jesus has to correct the disciples again because they come running to him. Jesus. There's people out there. They're going around. They're casting out demons. And they're doing miracles in your name. And they were just in a tizzy. And Jesus is looking at them like, what's the big deal? That's what they're supposed to be doing. And they're like, but we're your disciples. You're with us. He's like, oh, honey. I'm here to save the whole universe. I'm not just here to save you 12. Praise the Lord. Somebody say amen. This is why we have to get it out of our heads that we are now the elite because to Gales Creek Church of God. No. Like, that's wonderful that you attend here. That's beautiful. It's great. But guess what? You aren't the only ones who are going to be in heaven. So I just need you to quit playing. Quit playing. This is what Jesus said, people, you don't understand God if you think you are now an elite group and others can only come into this membership if they have the right hand of fellowship with certain people in our group by invitation only. No. And Jesus said, no, stop that. Because you sound like a Pharisee. Stop that. It's not the list. It's not the way you dress. It's not the particular building you go to. It's not even the day that you decide to worship on. Because truth be told, you should be worshiping God every day. You may gather as a corporate body of believers on a particular day, but again, good for you. That doesn't mean you are the only ones on the planet that God has sent his son for and gave his life for, was resurrected for. We're not the only flock. Jesus wanted his disciples to know there would be others who would follow Christ. And together, all of the flocks through all the decades, can you believe that? How incredible that is? Will be one flock in eternity. Forever provided for, forever protected by their loving shepherd. Verse 16. I love it. Now you may say, he was teaching all of that in that small story? Yep. That's exactly what he was teaching in that small passage. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. And Jesus came that we would have a rich and satisfying life. He is that good shepherd to protect us, to provide for us, to bring us to our eternal home with God in the end. So yes, those other flocks may worship different than us. They may be different than us, but guess what? We all belong to God. If they believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that he died, was resurrected, and is coming back, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We are siblings in Christ. So don't try to prevent them from doing this. Don't protest and picket their... No, stop that. Because they are part of the body of Christ. And I'm going to invite you once again. What did Jesus actually call you to do? I don't see pickets anywhere in the Bible. I don't see that. I don't see protesting other Christian folks. Nope, it's not there. There are things he has called us to do. So let's do those things. Care for one another, the human beings around us. Show them God's love. Tell them about God's grace. When you do those things, you cannot fail. You cannot fail. This is what Jesus meant when he compares us to sheep. Not that we're gullible, but that he is the ultimate good shepherd. He is willing to guide, provide, protect us. And the question is, are we willing to follow? So I want to challenge you this week to notice. Notice the opportunities for you to trust and follow God's voice. Make a mental note. You're like, you don't have to come and give me your list. Just for your own self-awareness. Make a mental note. How often you argue with that voice. I don't know if that's the right thing to do. I don't really want to go buy groceries for this person. I mean, I know they live by themselves, but... What is God asking you to do? How often do you argue with that voice? How often do you go your own way? And make a note, a mental note. I'm listening to that voice and I'm following. I wonder where else God is going to take me. Just notice for your own self. Sometimes you may be, as we discussed in a previous sermon, you may be that reluctant follower. Like Peter was. Well, I mean, we've been out here fishing all night. But if you say so. Well, I mean, I don't know about that, God. Is this really God speaking to me? I don't know about that. But I'll go and I'll do it. And then take note of what happens when you do. Right? Let's pray. God Almighty, thank you. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for giving us mothers and letting us understand how mothers provide for us. Thank you for those who are mothers and are living out true motherhood, being like you, God, our Father and Mother, gathering our chicks under our wings. Thank you, God, for that privilege. We thank you for the privilege to be able to come together and study your word. And so I pray now for those who are listening to the sound of my voice, that you would show up in a new and different way this very week. Help us to be really mindful of your voice when you are speaking to us, to do one little small thing, to show up in a different way than we have in the past. Help us, God, to be brave, to be bold, for Jesus' sake, so that someone else will experience your love and your grace. Someone else can experience your power. Thank you, God. Thank you for the lesson that we will learn by following your voice. And for those out there, Lord Jesus, who are trying to figure out, even if you are real, if God is real, we pray for them now. I pray that you would speak to their heart as only your Holy Spirit can. Reveal yourself and guide them to a good church home, a good Bible study where they can learn and grow for your glory. We thank you, God, for it. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right. We are going to have our communion. We get to recognize and remember that work that Jesus Christ did as a sacrificial lamb. So our dear faithful deacon is going to come and help me, and Sister Carolyn is going to give us music. Thank you. Jesus was with his disciples observing Passover, and he gave it new meaning. Because when he broke the bread and took up the cup, he said to them, "This is my body that's broken for you. Take, eat of it." And then he passed the cup and he said, "This is my blood shed for you. Drink all of it." And we, like his disciples, engage and we remember that Jesus sacrificed his life for us, as that good shepherd did and is willing to do, gave his very life for us so that we could know who God is, that we could live out his calling in our lives, that we could be light and salt to others around us. When we do this, we remember his sacrifice. We also remember that he's coming for us again. So, amen. Amen. So as Pastor Ivan said earlier, we're all going to go and be with him. Whether we die and get caught up when he returns, or if we're caught up in the rapture, if we're still alive when it happens, either way, we're going to be with Jesus and we'll be with God forever and ever. So praise his holy name. Pray with me once again, and I believe we have a closing song. So after our song, we will be dismissed. Lord God, again, thank you. Thank you for the promise of your Son returning. We thank you that we know in our hearts that he did die for us and that he didn't stay dead. He was resurrected for your glory. Thank you for that and that he's coming back for us. We honor you for doing that. Bless us this week to let our light shine for your glory. And keep us until we meet again. Amen. Go in God's peace.
Stand and close with "Seek Ye First."
Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be open unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Unto you.
Mm-hmm.